Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hey, I see Miguel in the chatty house says he's about to go into jury duty. Don't do that. Just skip your civic duty.
Skip your civic duty. Things could happen at any time.
If any Kings trades happen, we will be on it for you right here on ESPN 1320. And not just me and James. D'Lo and KC, who come on at noon, will also have the latest breaking news for you in Kingsland. So don't leave ESPN 1320 today, whether you're on the radio, whether you're in the office, whether you're at home. Maybe you're at home watching on YouTube and you have to leave. You can find us at 1320 AM on your radio dial or on the free Odyssey app. There are so many ways to continue listening to this station or watching this station without having to take a break. And we're going to be here for you all day. Again, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're here till noon. Then D'Lo and KC will be here from noon to four, covering anything and everything going on in King's World because things are heating up. We're buzzing. I cut a breaking news music bed just for today.
Oh. I like it.
I'm not going to play it. I'm going to debut it if and when there's breaking news.
I'm excited for this. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
James Hamm there. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Kings take on the Nets tonight. We're going to put all the trade stuff on hold for a moment and talk about the Kings trying to get back in the win column, trying to snap a three-game road losing skid. Mm-hmm. Their last three losses have been in Milwaukee, in Denver, and in New York against the Knicks. And they go up tonight at Barclays Center against a Nets team that is in full-blown tank mode. Since December 1st, they're 5-21. And they are 5-22 since winning three in a row to get back to 9-10. Remember when they came into Sacramento and they beat the Kings and they went to Golden State the next night and they beat Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
They won three in a row in that stretch. They got to 9-10. And since then, they're 5-22. And their wins have come against the Pacers, the Raptors. They beat the Bucks twice somehow.
That's weird.
And they beat the Blazers.
Okay,
this is not a good basketball club right now.
It coincided with the team, the franchise, waving a white flag. Just straight up. Like, they decided they were no longer going to be part of the discussion and in the chase for playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're now in the Cooper flag chase. Capture the flag is what we're calling
it. Which is really strong. When there's a consensus top one pick.
Did you watch him this weekend?
Oh. A good player.
Reminds me of Luka.
Good little player.
Reminds me of Luka, just like in better shape.
This is not a new take. I don't want to, this is not to diminish what he's doing at Duke and just destroying the college game right now, because he is, and he's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was fully sold on Cooper Flagg when he went out and cooked against Team USA.
Oh yeah.
That was it. That was all I needed. When LeBron and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and every player on Team USA walked out of their scrimmage against USA Select and was like, hey, that dude. That's all I needed.
It's the court vision. It's the court vision. And so I don't blame a team like the Nets who don't have a star and they need something. I don't blame them for kind of going, hey, it is what it is. Like, let's go ahead and trade. Let's get more draft picks. Let's go get more assets. And then let's maybe we get lucky in the lottery and we can rebuild our franchise from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's intriguing.
Yeah, I just don't know how you sell this to a fan base, because the players they had early in the year, they were playing hard. Jordy Fernandez, Sacramento Kings legend, doing a great job out there. Team Canada legend as well, doing a great job. They're playing hard. They've got some young players coming up playing well. You've got a sprinkling of veterans. Dennis Schroeder's playing great. Cam Johnson's playing well. Cam Thomas is cooking. Like, oh man, in the East, They could make a little run here.
Yeah.
They could fall into the playoffs. And then they pull the plug in December. That's a tough... I get Cooper Flagg might be this franchise-altering talent. And you got to do whatever. But then why even start the year playing your guys.
Because I don't think they had any idea that Jordy Fernandez could get a team to play like this. You know, or that Cam Johnson would average over 19 points a game, or that Cam Thomas would develop into like a bona fide scorer. And then you looked at even, you know, the Dennis Schroeder thing didn't work before, and then all of a sudden it was working. Mm-hmm. And so, like, piecing this thing out, though, very quickly, you know, they traded Dorian Finney-Smith, they traded Dennis Schroeder, and now it's like a full-blown tank mode. And I get it, and, you know, Kyle, like, even the injury report for today is absolutely wild.
Yeah, let's go through it.
Yeah, the Kings have zero injuries to report, which I'm not sure how that works out because their starting point guard has a sprained right thumb and he's not on the injury report. It just means that he's playing. So that's a good thing. But the Nets, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Melton is out for the season, but Trent and Watford are all out and Ben Simmons is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible you might get the ghost of Ben Simmons and then like seven randos. Like, this is a very, very torn up team. And can they beat you? Oh, yeah. Like, any team can, you can get beat by anybody. That's the NBA.
Yeah, right.
But also going to say, it's probably, Kyle, it's probably a good day to make a trade and get those, the you know, play down a few guys.
Well,
I'm just saying. This might be one of those moments.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, you asked a great question that I would love to ask Adam Silver.
Oh.
Why are the Nets allowed to tank? And if the Kings rest the wrong guys on the wrong night, they get penalized for it?
It's strange.
I don't understand.
There's definitely a double standard when it comes to, hey, star players have to play, and, oh, you're tanking, we get it.
Which, like, they're actively trying to prevent tanking.
Yeah.
So I don't...
All I know, like,
there might be some kid, right? Because this is always the argument. There might be some kid who gets to go to one game, and if LeBron James is sitting, it ruins that kid's day. Okay, fine. But what about Cam Thomas?
Is this ruining your day?
Yes.
Are you that one kid, Kyle?
Bro, I now have to watch. That is the one reason I will tune into the Nets on League Pass. I'm like, I want to see Cam Thomas get some buckets because that is a joy.
Not D'Angelo Russell?
No, get D'Angelo. Get D'Lo. Get my face. Cam Johnson, boring. Cam Thomas, though, is a bucket. And he exists on the court to get buckets. I know I'm not going to watch a lot of good basketball, but I'm going to watch Cam Thomas, and that brings joy to my heart.
Yep.
But no, he gets to sit because he's a little too good. A little too good for what they're trying to do, and that's fine. If Cam Thomas played for the Lakers and he sat in a random game like this,
we'd all be freaking out.
Ugh.
Freaking out, man.
King starters, it's the usual suspects. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis for the Nets. I think.
Maybe.
D'Angelo Russell?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
Okay.
Keon Johnson.
Okay. That's not Keon Ellis or Cam Johnson. It's Keon Johnson.
It's also not Keldon Johnson.
There we go.
Then there's Jalen Wilson.
Okay.
Who's not Jalen Williams.
No.
It's also Noah Clowney.
Okay.
And Nick Claxton, I believe, is their starting five.
I believe that is.
That's a big group.
I like the Clowney-Claxton
combo. Me too. That's a good front court.
I actually wouldn't hate getting either one of those on those guys on Sacramento Kings. I don't think there's a way to do it, but you know, those are kind of like their building block guys, but I really like Clowney.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good front court. You got a shot blocker like Nick Claxton, a three-point shooter, 6'10", stretch big like Noah Clowney. Yeah, it's a good group, but I don't think they're going to pose a huge threat tonight. All due respect to the Brooklyn Nets, but
yeah, I think anytime you have to say "with all due respect," we all know what that means.
And say whatever I want.
That's right.
Said with all due respect.
I said it.
Matchup of the game for you?
I think it's D'Lo versus World, and it's it's only because he is a bona fide Kings killer, and like he's just going to be out there like, you know what? I could shoot the ball 47 times tonight, and no one would care.
He's playing free basketball, is what he said.
I'm hoisting from like 40 feet half the time. Yeah. I mean, he has an opportunity here to score as many points as he would like.
I don't know, man. Just throw Keon on him. Make his life a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
and you're probably maybe it's something like Noah Clowney against, I'm guessing they'll go Keegan on him.
Yeah.
It'd be my guess, because Noah Clowney killed you from three last time.
Okay.
So maybe that's something to watch. I'm trying, guys. I'm really trying.
I know that people in the chat are saying Claxton versus Sabonis, and it's like,
I don't.
You know what Sabonis does to the tall, skinny guys?
6'11", 220-pound centers. I don't.
Yeah, he puts
like
him
Nick Claxton's a good player. I don't think that his style matches up well against Sabonis.
No, Sabonis just shoves him into the first row and yeah, scores on him.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's not a Jokic-type matchup for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had more to try and like sell this. It's like, oh man, it's gonna be tough. And we've seen the Kings faceplant in weird spots before, so I'm not gonna say, hey, bet the house on the Kings. But when you start trying to lay out a path to victory for the Nets, where they're like, hey, here's the thing that, and we'll have keys to victory and stuff coming up, but when you start trying to lay out the path for the Nets,
mm-hmm.
It's really, really difficult. Like, it's just There's not a lot of ways that this iteration of the team is, I think, going
to
be effective.
Yeah, the only way it happens is if they just go crazy and hit a bunch of shots. That's it. So.
And if the Kings come out and start slow, which they have, and we can get into that too if we want. But anyways.
Yeah.
All right. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Plenty more coming up on the Kings-Nets matchup tonight at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, including keys to victory for Sacramento. Although if they need to do a bunch of those specific things to win, like if it's like, hey, if you don't do these three things, you better watch out. I think they got a way bigger problem. Yeah. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this is ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento's sports leader. All right. So it's 11:14. No trade announcement. Is the fact that they... It feels like, and maybe this is just me, my vibe, because they're in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
that if a trade gets done today, it would be Cam Johnson. But if they were in Utah, would I feel like it's John Collins?
No, I mean...
Or have they...
Like, I think you're at a point where, with both...
Okay.
You're going to go into a situation today where you can have... like some real FaceTime with the Nets. I don't know that there's planned FaceTime to go, you know, Sean Marks and Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox go into a room and they're going to either hash this thing out or not. That may or may not happen. I don't know. But what I will tell you is that, like, if you get a very good feeling that the Cam Johnson deal is not going to happen, you should know by the end of today, walking out of that room, whether this is just like, you know, we're chasing windmills here.
Yeah,
and if you feel like you're chasing windmills, then I would expect the John Collins like trade to heat up very quickly and probably happen.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. And again, not asking you to report. Not your opinion. Never mind. Asking your opinion on this. If they leave Brooklyn and Cam Johnson's not on their team playing, is the Cam Johnson thing dead? Like, is this the last chance to try and get something done there?
I think probably.
Because it sounded like they were in talks, and then those talks kind of died. They reached a little bit of an impasse. But now it sounds like maybe they've ramped those back up where, okay, meeting face-to-face, we're in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing hammered out. And if we can't come to a deal today, all right, it's just not going to work out.
Probably, because I think when you get done with this today, it's going to be like, okay, look, we're just spinning our tires. Like, this is not going to happen. I think it's very similar to what happened with the conversations with Toronto. Was that last year or year before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where they're just like, okay, this isn't going to happen. Like,
it was last year.
It doesn't matter what we're going to do here. Like, we're just wasting our time, and it's the appropriate moment to move on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we revisit this down the road, maybe there's some sort of thing we can work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what people have to realize is that trades don't happen, very seldom do they happen in like a 20-minute meeting one day or a phone call. They happen over a year sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like you have a generalized conversation about this same exact trade at the deadline last year. You have the conversation again on draft night and thinking like we may be able to do something here. It doesn't happen. And then you have more conversations throughout the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we heard last week that, oh, the Kings and Nets haven't talked for weeks. Like, okay, whatever. Like we said that on the radio, like that doesn't move me at all. Mm-hmm. Like there was definitely a moment where both sides knew what it would take to get the deal done.
Right.
One side wasn't willing to give up like the value of picks, and the other side wasn't willing to break either. Right. So now we got to this point where it's like, okay, we're getting really close to the deadline. And what other options do you have? What other mm-hmm. offers do you have out there
right.
for a guy like Cam Johnson? And is our offer that we presented you before better than those offers? And can we also, is there a way to sweeten it without killing our future? Like all of these things.
For example,
uh-huh.
let's say the Nets wanted an unprotected first and the Kings said, we'll do top 15 protected.
Yep.
And the Nets said, can't do it. Kings say, we're not doing unprotected. All right, we'll go our separate ways. The Nets start taking calls for Cam Johnson. They're getting a second round pick, a top 20 protected. And all of a sudden, that top 15 protected looks a little nicer.
Yeah, or you're getting what like the Phoenix Suns just got from the Utah Jazz, which was three picks that are like almost meaningless late. You know, like would you rather have a pick that belongs to the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, next year, and the year after, mm-hmm. or would you rather have a top 10 protected pick from the Kings?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is you'd rather have a top 10 protected pick. That Absolutely. One first round pick is going to be way more valuable than those three that are going to be between 25 and 30 in the draft for the next 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. Maybe you get lucky with one of those, but even like the way that the Jazz got those, I mean, the way that the Suns got those picks, it's the least favorable. So it's not just one really good team. It's two or three really good teams. And yep. those picks could be worth absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, late first round picks are in a lot of situations aren't as valuable as early second round picks because early second round picks don't come with a 3-year guaranteed money.
Right.
So it's complicated. So I want to see what exactly they think that they can get. Maybe the Kings change their protections. Maybe they say, okay, we'll do a top 10. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they say, we'll do a top 3 protected pick just so we don't completely kill ourselves in a, or, sure. you know, maybe it's top 5, like whatever. But that's what this is all about. It's about a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, hey, can we throw in a second round pick? Can we keep the protections the way that they are?
Mm-hmm.
A lottery protected pick that becomes a top 12, becomes a top 10, mm-hmm. like the Kevin Huerter pick. But hey, we'll throw in a second round pick. Can you do something like that?
Right.
And that's what you're trying to do. Like this all is a negotiation and you're hoping that you're gonna get the best deal possible for you and,
yep.
and they're hoping they're gonna get the best deal possible for them. But like these teams have had so many conversations
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't matter whether they spoke in a week or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They already know what the deal is
mm-hmm.
if they are going to make the deal.
I see Just Too Nice in the chatty house saying, leave Cam alone. He's not changing the team to contention. Not a Cam guy. He's not worth a first whatsoever. But to me, he does. Because now he's your sixth or seventh guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving you real minutes off the bench. He can start if Keegan Murray is hurt,
mm-hmm.
Which has been an issue this year. Not Keegan Murray being hurt, but them finding a replacement when Keegan Murray's out. And you have a little bit of shot creation. He's an excellent three-point shooter. It gives you another rangy wing defender that you can have in closing lineups if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is he would dramatically alter what the Kings rotation looks like, and I think would make them substantially better because now it's not trying to figure out what to do with Doug McDermott and Kevin Huerter. It's, you know, Keon Ellis is coming off the bench and you know what you're getting out of him, and you know Cam Johnson's coming off the bench and you know what you're getting out of him.
Yeah, and I look at Tom L says here in the chat too, this is a good point. Like Cam would provide what we want from Huerter at the forward spot. That would raise their offensive level completely. But that's not just it. Cam Johnson is a very good defender, and he's a player that his switchability provides so much more. So a tandem of Cam Johnson and and Keon,
yeah.
Keegan Murray is what you're looking at. And it's they're not going to start together most likely, but it's still when you have those two on the floor together, like it gives you so much defensive versatility, rotational. It actually, you know, in a weird way, it provides an avenue where you could actually use DeMar DeRozan as a shooting guard. Because as of right now, you can't.
Right.
You don't have the defense behind behind him to go move him up. So, like, look, I think that that's what people should look at. I wrote, like, really long form on the difference between Cam Johnson and John Collins. And, like, you have to weigh so many factors when you're looking at these types of trades because, like, look, on paper, like, John Collins is a better player, but he costs less and he's younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are these little things, you know, it's like, what was the movie where Ben Stiller plays the guy who does risk assessments for a living, and then he puts the girl into the risk assessment thing for his work for doing, is it Along Came Polly?
That sounds right.
I think it is. And he has all of the, he goes through and like, what's the risk assessment? Like, that's what you have to do as an NBA franchise. You have to like try to mitigate risks as much as possible. And again, Cam Johnson is expensive to get. John Collins isn't as expensive. Cam Johnson's contract is longer. Mm-hmm. John Collins is more expensive. Like there are all of these things that you have to throw into the calculator.
There's a way they could conceivably get both.
It would be difficult.
Right. But it's not one of those like, oh, out of the question, no chance.
Well, I mean, without digging into the core, I don't know. And what does that mean? Like, if you were to get both, let's go down that road. If you were to get both of them, what are they, just your backup forwards behind Keegan Murray? And I know John Collins can play the five, but I mean, that would take a lot of maneuvering. And we're talking like you're going to have to trade exceptions because you have to remember where the Kings are at. They can't go above $178 million.
Right.
They're hard capped.
Right.
So you would have to give up a whole bunch of salary, and the Kings aren't going to trade a De'Aaron Fox in this deal. They're not going to trade a Malik Monk or DeMontis Sabonis. Maybe you move on from a guy like DeMar DeRozan, but I don't think so.
Okay, so help me then. It seems like based on reporting that the Kings would prefer Cam Johnson. That's plan A, I believe, as it was labeled.
Yeah, by Evan Sittery.
Cam Johnson is plan A. John Collins would be plan B.
Mm-hmm.
If John Collins is younger, cheaper, easier to get, can play the four and the five, works as a lob threat, can shoot the three.
Better rebounder.
Why would he not be plan A?
I think like every player has their pluses and minuses. And I think Cam Johnson's a better defender. John Collins is a better shot blocker. Cam Johnson's a more versatile defender. They're both really good three-point shooters, although Cam Johnson for his career is a higher three-point shooter, like overall. But again, offensive versatility, I think, like John Collins has a lot more offensive versatility than Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know what I'm going to get out of John Collins. Now, I might have to deal with some things with, like, is he the highest basketball IQ player that you've ever seen? And the answer might not be yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to disguise some of his...
To me, that's something that a good coaching staff can coach around.
I get that, but at the same time, you're also looking at a player who went from a team that signed him to an extension, had then immediately tried to trade him, and then John Collins has been on the block for 5 years. It feels like
John Collins came into the league on the block.
Yeah, and then he goes to Utah, and again, it hasn't resulted in winning.
Sure.
So you don't really know whether he's going to be a guy who's impactful or not. You think he is, but the numbers might not help as much. You know, you're always worried about Christian Wood, right? Christian Wood can put up 20 and 10.
Christian Wood do that.
Yeah, there you go. Ba-dum-bum. He also, like, while he's scoring 20 and 10, he gives up 25 and 15. And it's like, okay, that doesn't help.
Yeah, so that's what you're every night.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping is that the numbers that you see from a guy like John Collins, that they're legitimate. Like, I don't think Cam Johnson comes to Sacramento Kings and averages 19.4 points, I just don't think that happens. Like, if he's coming to Sacramento Kings, he's going to drop down to like 14, 15 points a game.
Right.
And he's going to be used as a secondary guy off the bench. And like, but he still has a tremendous amount of value.
Sure.
But that's not what I like. John Collins, I think he walks in the door and he's going to get you 8 rebounds. He's going to get you, you know, 17, 18 points. He's going to shoot close to 40% from three. He's never played with a big man like Domas that can pass. I think you can kind of say the same thing about Cam. I don't know that he's played with a passing big like Domas.
Not a big DeAndre Ayton guy?
No. Well, he's not a big passer. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's complicated. Again, risk assessment and figuring out the expense, the age, the all of that stuff, the player arc. You got to make the right decision, though.
Yeah, you sure do. All right. You said an interesting thing there about if the Kings get Cam Johnson and John Collins and the way they might be able to do that. I want to dig into that. We also can't ignore that the Kings have a game tonight, so we will look at keys to victory for the Kings coming up against the Nets this evening in Brooklyn. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it's Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Kings play the Nets tonight. We're putting trade stuff on hold for a moment. Because the Kings still have a game to go win. Regardless of the trade rumors, I'm hoping that that doesn't play a role tonight. I'm hoping that... And good on the Kings for keeping names out of the media.
Yeah.
Like, we all know what contracts would need to go in various deals to make it work. But we've not seen any reporting yet that is like, the Kings are shopping this player.
I mean, we've seen for the last 6 months the package of players that they have shopped.
Sure.
Like, whether it's, you know, Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter or one of the other smaller contracts they have, or, you know, if they have to include a player like Devin Carter, like there's all of these different iterations of a trade that you might be able to piece together. But at this point, you're hoping that it doesn't derail you on a 6-game road trip where you walk into a game with missing 3-4 players.
Sure.
That wouldn't be a great thing for the Kings.
No. No, it sure wouldn't. But it also feels like being in Brooklyn is a may perhaps be the catalyst to one of these deals getting done.
I just think it's the moment where you're either going to do one deal or another.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're gonna get in a room with the Nets, and if that doesn't work out, you know exactly what you're pivoting to.
Yes, exactly. And that's where I would put it. Like, the you know, if they can get Cam Johnson, they would probably hit the button today.
Yeah.
If they can't get Cam Johnson, they'll probably know that today, and they'll move to a player like John Collins.
It's exciting to know that they have multiple buttons to push.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one of them isn't Kessler Edwards.
Or Robin Lopez again.
I'm not ruling it out. I'm not ruling out Robin Lopez.
I just don't even know if Robin Lopez is in the league for them to trade for at this point.
I would be shocked if Robin Lopez is on a roster right now.
Yeah, I do not believe that he is. But
do you think Robin Lopez hates the Kings for that? Guys, I thrilled to announce. Oh no, never mind. He's not on a roster.
No.
Bummer. Didn't know he was a Fresno guy.
Well, just think if they went to Stanford.
Yeah, yeah. That I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a Fresno guy.
But what if, Kyle? What if you had to give up a bunch of players here in the next 24 hours? What if Robin Lopez is available and you can go?
Do you think
sign
he has like
him?
Ill will towards the Kings? Or do you think he just doesn't care?
I don't know. I don't think he cares, but I would also tell you that the Lopez twins have both been thrown out at least one time each, but I think it's more like multiple times against the Kings. They have lost their cool.
Hilarious.
I have watched them leave the building in anger.
Hilarious.
Multiple times.
Man. I think if I was 7'1", I don't think I'd ever be mad about anything. If I'm 7'1", what are you going to do about it?
Well, I think the thing you get mad about is like not being able to fit into a vehicle. Like you can't call an
regular Uber. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So like every bed that you sleep in, your feet are hanging off the end.
Yeah, all right, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm mad about all these minor life inconveniences. All right. Let's get to keys to a Kings victory tonight. They're playing the Brooklyn Nets, who are 5-22 in their last 27. Not playing great. They're missing their best player, their two best players tonight.
A lot of players.
And Cam Thomas and Cam Johnson both out. Mm-hmm. Let's get to keys to victory. Number one, James.
My first key is don't let D'Angelo Russell bust you up.
Yeah.
He is a certified Kings killer, but it feels like he's a lone gunman. Like, if you can take away D'Angelo Russell, it doesn't matter how hard the other team plays, they just don't have the talent to compete.
Mm-hmm.
If you play even like a C-plus game. So I think the Kings, that should be their approach tonight. I don't know if you need to treat him like Steph, but I might treat him like Steph and just say, who else? What other rando is going to beat us tonight?
Yeah.
And the answer is they don't have a lot of randos that can beat you.
Yeah, man. That's kind of it. Throw your best defender at him. Throw Keon at him. Maybe throw some Keegan at him.
Fox.
Let De'Aaron Fox have some turn. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Keep him from scoring 40 and you're in good shape.
That's what I would do. Like, they only have one guy averaging in double figure scoring, and it's D'Angelo Russell that's playing tonight or is still on the roster. Like, you got a bunch of dudes at 9, like Jalen Wilson, Nick Claxton. Again, I don't even know how to say that name, so I'm not going to try. Noah Clowney's at 9.5, Zaire Williams at 9.3, Keon Johnson's at 9.2. They have a random collection of dudes. You want to try to Tosin? No, I'm not even going to try to say that last name. I don't even know.
He's one of those guys, and when he gets in the game tonight, you're going to be like, who?
Iwomu.
Tosin Iwomu?
Yes.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So the V is silent.
Okay. Yeah, so everybody log that tonight so you can impress your friends you're watching the game with. Be like, oh yeah, Tosin. Yeah, that's my guy.
He has a silent V and B in the first part of his name.
Don't we all?
I guess.
You didn't know my name was spelled B-V-K-Y-L-E? Yeah, man. It's easy work. Number one for me, don't let them get hot from three. They're going to get their threes up.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, basically, Jordy Fernandez is doing what Steve Kerr is doing with the Warriors. And going, hey, we're not good enough to like run a regular offense and score twos. Everything has to be threes. We have to get hot from three, and that's our only way to win.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. They have the average, the eighth most three-point attempts per game in the NBA at 39.1%. They don't shoot it particularly great at 35.6%. That's very middle of the road. You just can't let them get hot from there. If they go 9 of 12 to start the game, run them off the line. Do everything you can to make sure they are not shooting more threes.
There it is.
Number two
for me. Until the trade happens, this is a group that you're going to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Stop worrying about who's not there. Stop worrying about whether Kevin Huerter is hitting his shots or not. Just go out there and play. This isn't a very good team. Go out there and dominate them, and that's it. Like, don't get distracted. Mm-hmm. There's only one thing that matters tonight, and it's not whether you make a trade or not. The only thing that matters is that you pick up a win and don't lose three straight, that you move back to two games over 500, that you get to your first win on this road trip, and you put yourself in a position to get another win later in the week when you play a Joel Embiid-less 76ers team.
And just continuing to take care of business against bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a really, really good job of that against Doug Christie, or with Doug Christie.
Yeah.
All of their losses are against teams that are likely going to be in the playoffs, and they've all been on the road.
Yeah, good teams. Right. We've lost to good teams.
Right. So go continue beating the heck out of bad teams. Number two for me, win the bench minutes, man, because if you don't, you got a major problem. If you're not winning the bench minutes against Tyrese Martin, our guy Tosin, Zaire Williams, and De'Ron Sharp, who scored against Miami 15 combined points, if you're not outscoring their bench tonight, we need to rethink what we believe about the Sacramento Kings.
I would agree. The Kings bench has been so hit and miss. I don't know. Like, it's tough.
If you're not able to score points against this group and keep them from scoring points.
Yeah. If you can't get a 5 of 6 from three from Doug McDermott. I mean, like, what are we doing? I'm with you.
All right. Number three.
I think both of us have the same type of idea thing here for our third. You need to turn the screws early on this team and end it early. Your starters need rest, and you do not need anyone playing 38 minutes tonight. So do your work, focus, make this thing lopsided at halftime, come out in the first 6 minutes of the third and finish it, and let everybody else like go in and play the rest of the game. Like, Alex Len needs to play 15 minutes tonight. Yeah. And so does, you know, Doug McDermott and Jordan McLaughlin and anyone else that you have hiding on your bench. They all need to play. And this is a one game where the Kings don't have all their G League guys. I kind of wish they had some of their two-way guys, whether Mason Jones or, you know, Isaac Jones or Isaiah Crawford. You need to figure out a way to get up on this team big and coast home.
Yeah, I'm right with you. No breaks. Yeah. Get ahead early, stay ahead through three quarters or two and a half quarters or however long, and empty the bench. That has to be what this game is, man. This can't be like the Chicago game where you get in this track meet and you're running up and down and all of a sudden it's a one-point game with 30 seconds to go. These dudes need an easy one.
Yeah.
They haven't had an easy one in a while.
Jordy's teams, they fight. That's what you know they're going to fight.
Right, but you're so significantly better than they are. Yeah, they're going to play hard. You're going to have to play hard for the 28 minutes you're in the game, but make it 28 minutes. Don't make it 41.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what I would like to see from the Kings tonight. And if they do all those things, if they show up and they play an effective basketball game, they should win.
Game over.
If they are just a C-plus version of the Kings, they should roll.
I agree 100%.
Don't think it's asking too much.
If they're an A version, this game's over at halftime.
Yep, 1,000%. All right. He's James, I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we'll break all of this down. We'll have everything for you, and any trades, of course, that happen, we'll have all that for you on the Insiders, 10 a.m., right here on ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento's sports leader. All right. Hey, just as one of the things we're kind of navigating here with the Kings and their trades and their acquisitions and such, is the luxury tax line.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want to get super far into that because we got the handoff coming up with Kenny Caraway here, but dude, it sucks to be in the second apron. Like, I knew that, but Bobby Marks from ESPN posted a graphic today that really like handily laid out what it means to be in the second apron. And unless you're the Celtics, and the Celtics are one of the second apron teams, I guess Celtics, Bucks, Timberwolves, and Suns. Like, at this deadline, your goal is probably less about acquiring players and more about figuring out how to get out of the second apron.
Oh, yeah.
Because it, like, freezes your draft picks and makes it so if you're in the second apron for, like, 2 out of the next 4 years, you got to go back to the end of the first round.
Oh, yeah, it messes everything up.
It is ugly. And, like, I knew all that, but I'd never had it laid out the way this Bobby Marks graphic kind of just very plainly put it there. And it really drove home, oh, this might be the impetus for some of these moves at the deadline. Like, just getting up. Forget playoffs. Forget competition this year. It's more about not getting your draft picks frozen and not getting your draft picks knocked back in the first round. Kenny Caraway, here for the handoff. What's up, Casey?
What's up, man? How did they agree to that? How did the owners agree to that?
Because it makes it so owners like Joe Lacob can go, whoa, hey, well, we can't spend. We're trying to stay under the second apron. We can't have our draft picks frozen.
Yeah.
Joe Lacob was all about this.
It's wild. Like, I looked it up today. So the first $5 million over the tax, you pay $1.50 for every dollar. So the first $5 million, if you're between $72 and $77 million, the luxury tax you pay is $7.5 million. So then it goes up from there. The next $5 million is $1.75 for every dollar. So the next $5 million, if you blow through all of that cap money, you're at $8.75 that you owe on top of the $7.5. So you're already at like $16 million, right? Mm. It goes up to $250 for the next $5 million, and then $325 for the next $5 million, and then any $5 million after that, it goes up an additional $50, 50 cents per. So, like, like some of these teams, what we looked at the Bucks are on the hook right now. Their luxury tax dollar, $75 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the Timberwolves, $90 million in luxury tax.
Mm. Mm.
Just in luxury tax.
Just in luxury tax.
Now there is an element of, I get why you have that in there, because you got to do something to be able to compete against, like, Steve Ballmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
Like, because, like, he's got to think about it a little bit. You know what I mean? If he decides, all right, I'm going to just spend anything to make this happen. Like, are you willing to spend an extra $500 million? He may say yes, but at least he might have to think about it a little bit. Like, because if it was just a regular cap, he'd be like, I'll just go over to cap and spend $100 million more a year to have this all-star team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta. So I understand it. The draft picks and everything is just a lot. And it also feels like the threshold should be a little higher for the second apron. Like, it seems a little too close. Like, the second apron.
I feel that too.
Yeah. The second apron comes a little too close.
I don't know if that's because teams are just having to adjust to it on the fly, so it looks worse than it is. But you're probably going to see teams adjust by, like, contracts for middle of the road players dropping a lot. That's who I think is going to get screwed in all this.
Probably. And I don't like that there are these, like, things that trigger, like, a hard cap. Like, I get it. If you're at the second apron, whether it's at 187 or, like, say they just push it to 200 million, like, that, you're getting penalized so much financially already that, like, if you want to keep going and trying to make your team better, okay. Like, I'm not going to just kill you for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that if you do a sign and trade deal, you're instantly hard capped at the first apron like the Kings are right now, that's not cool.
Right.
Like, the Kings are very limited in what they can do right now because of the hard cap. Mm-hmm. They're only, like, I think the number that Bobby Marks put out, $7 million under the hard cap, because they have, you know, they're more like $10 million under the hard cap, but they have these expected bonuses that count against the hard cap as well. Mm-hmm. So they've got like $7 million to play with. That's not that much money, like, when you're dealing with $25, $30 million contracts. Mm-hmm. So the Kings at this point, like, if they make one deal, they could, like, ask that team to take on more contracts just to get lower. So then they might be able to do something with their mid-level. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very complex, but how you have to, like, manage all of these avenues and, like, will you be a tax-paying team? And a tax-paying team, again, that first $5 million, you're looking at like $7.5 million you're going to have to pay in luxury tax. If you're a non-paying tax team, you get $13 million back, right? So now you're looking at a $20 million difference between, like, going over $172 million or not going over $172 million.
Mm.
It's like that crazy, that, like, little tiny line can be up to $20 million difference.
I thought basketball, the NBA, used to have the perfect blend of having a salary cap and not being as strict about it as the NFL, all right? Like, because I think baseball, Polo G in here says get rid of the salary cap, go full MLB and soccer without a cap.
You don't want that at all.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. Major League Baseball, they won't, but they need a salary cap. But I also don't want a situation with a hard cap like the NFL, where you got to cut 20 people just out of nowhere to get under the cap. Like, I thought the NBA had the perfect, you know, the perfect system, and they kind of mucked it up a little bit. I thought about with this cap, they may mess around with the idea of you get one player that
doesn't count
against the penalties. Like, they still got to be under the cap and all this other stuff.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, guy that doesn't affect your second apron or anything.
Yeah.
You can pay him the max of what he can make, and yeah, it counts towards your cap, but you don't get penalized, or he doesn't push you over the second apron or something like that.
So it wouldn't count against your cap.
I guess you could say that. Sure. Yeah. Let's just simplify, because it could get crazy in the other. Kyle Madsen simplifying my ideas. Thank you.
I want to, we've been talking a lot about Cam Johnson and John Collins today because it sounds like we've gone from whispers to murmurs. Now we're at full-blown buzz. Hoping to get smoke and or fire at some point today. If they don't trade for Cam Johnson today, are you disappointed?
No, because you still got the rest of the time before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I want it done today. Love for it to happen mm-hmm. like one or something like that. That'd be great.
We're assuming though that if the Cam Johnson deal doesn't happen today, it's not happening. So if they miss out on Cam Johnson,
I'm not disappointed because you can still get John Collins.
Okay,
and I like Kuzma and potentially Kuzma and Valanciunas, so you know that's still there as well.
Okay,
While Cam, I think would probably be the best selection, you know, to trade for. You still have options even if you don't get Cam Johnson.
Okay.
I don't hate the Cam Johnson deal. Like, I personally would prefer John Collins over Cam, although I do know that, you know, like, there are things that you have to, like, defensive acumen and stuff needs to be, like, calculated into that. And I think, you know, Cam is a very good player. But I also think that the Kings need to figure out a way to get one of them as quickly as possible. Mm. We just keep running into these games where you're like, oh, man, you just can't compete. You go out there against... Yep. You know, OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges and, like, all these long athletic players. And I was like, all right, that makes it really tough.
Yeah, they got to get one.
Yes.
I need one.
I mean, you've got an opportunity.
If we are here, your show starts on February 6th because it's noon Pacific. February 6th is the deadline. When your show starts, if they have not dealt for John Collins – or Cam Johnson, or I guess Kyle Kuzma and Jonas Valanciunas. I'm not as big on those guys, but but if that's, it's going to get ugly.
Mm.
It might get a little ugly. You think Kings fans, you think the Chatty House is going to be fired up? They don't make a move?
Oh, sure, they were, but they were fired up 3 weeks ago. And then they started winning and nothing mattered anymore. So that's, it's not good for talk radio, but that's always the bottom line. If you win, like, when was the last time we talked about not having a press conference? Hadn't been in the last week and a half because they've been winning.
Well, because that was 3 weeks ago now. Yeah.
That doesn't change the fact that it's ass that they didn't do that.
I agree. But if they had lost seven in a row, we'd be talking about it every day.
Oh, yeah.
But they won. Nah. So we ain't talking about it.
I guess.
Win the game. Until
the offseason, they get bounced in the first round because they didn't have enough size and athleticism on the wings. We're going like, hey, John Collins would have helped.
Yeah.
Said that a few
times.
They're
in the first round. I think people are happy. Not satisfied. But you get a playoff series.
We got to go.
All right.
D'Lo and KC next. What do you guys, more of this?
More of this, Championship Sunday
and everything
that happened with that. So, the damn Super Bowl set.
D'Lo and Casey next. Look, don't leave ESPN 1320. There's so many ways to listen to this. If you're in your car listening on 1320 AM, jump on the free Odyssey app or on YouTube or Twitch. We are live there. Any Kings news that happens, D'Lo and Casey are going to have it for you right here on ESPN 1320. Do not go anywhere. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back with you tomorrow at 10 right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice people. See you.